been two women. She certainly had the cubic capacity and, since she was dressed entirely in white, looked rather like an iceberg but chillier, and with sails, and with a headdress starched to a cutting edge. Two smaller women stood behind and on either side of her, in definite danger of being crushed if she stepped backwards. "I've come to see Mr. Grote," said Moist weakly, while Grote gibbered and pulled the bedclothes over his head. "Quite impossible! I am the matron here, young man, and I must insist that you leave at once. Mr. Grote is in an extremely unstable condition." "He seems fine to me," said Moist. He had to admire the look the matron gave him. It suggested that Moist had just been found adhering to the sole of her shoe. He returned it with a chilly one of his own. "Young man, his condition is extremely critical," she snapped. "I refuse to release him." "Madam, illness is not a crime," said Moist. "People are not released from hospital. They are discharged." The matron drew herself up and out and gave Moist a smile of triumph. "That, young man, is what we are afraid of." Moist was sure doctors kept skeletons around to cow patients. "Nyeh, nyeh, we know what you look underneath." He quite approved, though. He had a certain fellow feeling. Places like the Lady Sybil were very rare these days, but Moist felt certain he could make a profitable career out of wearing a white robe, using long learned names for ailments like runny nose, and looking solemnly at things in bottles. On the other side of the desk, a Dr. Lorne, he had his name on a plate on his desk because doctors are very busy and can't remember everything, looked up from his notes on Tolliver Grote. "It was quite interesting, Mr. Litvig. It was the first time I've ever had to operate to remove a patient's clothing," he said. "You don't happen to know what a poultice was made of, do you? He wouldn't tell us." "I believe it's layers of flannel, goose grease, and bread pudding," said Moist, staring around at the office. "Bread pudding? Really bread pudding?" "Apparently so," said Moist. "Not something alive, then. It seemed leathery to us," said the doctor, leafing through the notes. "Ah, yes, here we are. Yes, his trousers were the subject of a controlled detonation after one of his socks exploded. We're not sure why. He fills them with sulphur and charcoal to keep his feet fresh, and he soaks his trousers in saltpetre to prevent gnats," said Moist. "He's a great believer in natural medicine, you see. He doesn't trust doctors." "Really?" said Dr. Lorne. "He retains some vestige of sanity, then. Incidentally, it's wisest not to argue with the nursing staff. I find the wisest course of action is to throw some chocolates in one direction and hurry off in the other while their attention is distracted. Mr. Grote thinks that every man is his own physician, I gather." "He makes his own medicines," Moist explained. "He starts every day with a quarter of a pint of gin mixed with spirits of nitre, flour of sulphur, juniper, and the juice of an onion. He says it clears the tubes." "Good heavens, I'm sure it does. Does he smoke at all?" Moist considered this. "No, it looks more like steam," he said. "And his background in basic alchemy is non-existent as far as I know," said Moist. "He makes some interesting cough sweets, though. After you've sucked them for 2 minutes, you can feel the wax running out of your ears. He paints his knees with some sort of compound of iodine, and—" "Enough," said the doctor. "Mr. Litvig, there are times when we humble practitioners of the craft of medicine have to stand aside in astonishment, quite a long way aside in the case of Mr. Grote, and preferably behind a tree. Take him away, please. I have to say that against all the odds I found him amazingly healthy. I can quite see why an attack by a banshee would be so easily shrugged off. In fact, Mr. Grote is probably unkillable by any normal means, although I advise you not to let him take up tap dancing. Oh, and do take his wig, will you? We tried putting it in the cupboard, but it got out. We'll send the bill to the post office, shall we?" "I thought this said free hospital on the sign," said Moist. "Broadly, yes, broadly," said Dr. Lorne. "But those on whom the gods have bestowed so many favours, 150,000 of them I held, probably have had all the charity they require, And it's all sitting in the watch's cells," thought Moist. He reached into his pocket and produced a crumpled wad of green Ankh Morpork $1 stamps. "Will you take these?" he said. The picture of Tiddles being carried out of the post office by Moist von Litvig was, since it concerned an animal, considered to be full of human interest by the Times, and was thus displayed prominently on the front page. Reacher Gilt looked at it without displaying so much as a flicker of emotion. Then he reread the story next to it, under the headlines, "Man Saves Cat. We'll Rebuild Bigger Vow. As Post Office Blazes. $150,000 gift from..."